My name is Nia. This is Purpose Spotlight, where we have the wonderful opportunity to interview two people every Monday at 7 p.m. and get the chance to see and how they're being themselves for purpose and just the amazing things that they're doing in the community. And so we have two guys who are going to be on here tonight that I'm super, super excited to share with you, and you can get the chance to hear from them, connect with them. And so I'm going to bring our first guest, DJ P-Dawg, and he's going to share more about who he is and what he does. And it looks like everything is working perfectly, so I'm really excited about this. I think I did it right. Yeah, there we go. That was really crispy. Hello.
Hey, hey. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
All right. Sounds wonderful. Your picture is very clear, so I can appreciate that.
Well, I'm sitting in my studio. I said, you know, Nia's bringing me on, so I got to do it justice.
Okay. You know, I see the green screen. I was like, okay, he do some production in there.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Glad to have you here. We met, I guess it would have been at minimum, what year is this? 2022. So at least 15 years ago. Is that right?
Indeed.
Dang, has it really been that long?
Hey, listen. Has it been 15 years? I'm pushing 41, so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I guess about 15 years ago, obviously, Liberty University. I think we were just in the same circle, just in passing or something like that, probably through Center for Me or whatever. But I just want you to come on and just share. I wanted you to come on and share just a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do, because I've seen, you know, we see with Facebook and stuff like that, we see people just kind of on their journey. We don't always necessarily get the chance to interact, but I see you and I see like the amazing things that you've been doing. So go ahead and tell the people I know, but they don't know who you are and what it is that you do.
For sure. So I'm going to take you back, Nia. I'm going to go all the way back further before we even met.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Because I started at Liberty in 2002. So I'm going to start my journey there, because I think that's a good starting point, since, you know, that's where we connected. Yes, so before I went to Liberty, I was at another school, another Christian school down in Florida. And I came back home for a semester, and I knew I wanted to come to Liberty. So I sent off for some information in hopes that Liberty, my experience at Liberty, would not be the same as my experience at this other school. And I remember getting this pamphlet from Liberty, and they had these amazing faces on this pamphlet, but there was one face that stood out from the crowd. It was this beautiful African-American, dark-skinned young lady.
There's only one person that could be. Okay.
So you know where I'm going with this, It was your sister. I remember coming to Liberty, and I know you mentioned Center for Me, but before you came to Liberty, it was called the MISO office.
Right, okay.
And Shawnee, your sister, she worked in the MISO office, and man, I would go there just to hang out like every day. Like, you know, I would definitely hang out with her and people like Gavin and other people who were there, because even though I had started as a freshman, we were all the same age.
Yeah.
So I was coming in as an incoming freshman, but I was already like 20 years old when I came to Liberty. So we were all kind of in that same age range. So I was hanging out with the old heads versus the young cats. But anyways, so being at Liberty, before going to Liberty, I knew that I was going to get into entertainment in some form or fashion. I didn't have a clue what it would be. At one point, I thought I was going to be a rapper. So I tried my hand at that. At that time, you couldn't tell me nothing. I was the baddest thing on wax, but I was quite terrible. But while at Liberty, I remember I was into radio. And so that was another way that we all had got connected. So I was doing radio at Liberty with a young lady named Devetta Saunders. Shout out to her. She's about to get married next month. So shout out to her.
Yes.
So I used to go and hang out with her on the radio, and eventually I would get my own show. But before that, I remember a friend of mine and I were walking down the halls of Liberty, and there was this sign on the wall, and it was saying they were looking for a DJ. And the group was called the Soar Dunk Team at the time. And my friend was like, "Hey, you should go check them out." So I said, "Man, they looking for somebody with some turntables and this, that." And I said, "I don't got none of that." He said, "Just go check them out, see what they're about." So I went there, this is my first time actually telling the story correctly in 20 years, because I shared it on Facebook and one of the guys had to chime in to give their perspective. It kind of helped me connect the dots. So the Dunk Team was a missional group. So they would go out to recruit for Liberty, but they would go out and preach the gospel after doing these shows where they would do trick dunks off trampolines. And I would be the DJ. And so apparently other people had came out, but I was the only guy that stood above the crowd. And the guy said, "Hey, look, if you go buy a set of turntables, we'll give you the gig." And so I took my tuition money and I went and bought my first set of turntables, my freshman semester at Liberty. That was 20 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since. And so it's just a crazy long shot in the dark journey kind of thing, and here we are.
So what was it that persuaded you or gave you that conviction to say, like you said, I'm gonna throw this long shot. We just want to see what happens to the point where you took your tuition money, because we all know Liberty not cheap. So
No, it's
that
not.
took your tuition money, to buy turntables. What was that conviction that you had? Where did that come from?
Yeah, so let me give you, so let me give bring it all home and kind of give that other piece. So I took my tuition money, but the deal was, I would get the gig, we would go out and travel, but I would get like $1,000 a semester in scholarship money. And funny thing is, I remember that particular semester, I ended up getting that back as a refund check. And I'm giving these side stories, but back then they actually gave you like a paper check and your assistant took them to the bank. She took me to the bank.
Oh,
But yeah,
man.
so that was the deal. Again, I knew I wanted to do something with entertainment. I remember before coming to Liberty, I would tell people like, "Man, I just got this feeling like I'm gonna travel and do this." And some people was like, "Okay, where are you gonna go with this, that, whatever." I was like, "Man, I don't know. I'm just gonna see what happens. I'm just gonna follow the path that's laid out in front of me." And that was the path. And again, that was 20 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since. But so spending that tuition money, I had to call my parents and tell them what was up, and they said, "Look, go for it." And then at the same time, my brother who was at Liberty was he joined another group called Chosen back then and was doing his thing with them. So we both kind of got our situations going during that time.
Shout out to parents that let you pursue dreams, pursue even the things that don't quite make sense, but they gave you the space, gave you the room to try it out and just see what happens. So, kudos to them. And so even further back, talking about you always knew that you would do or something and that said you would do entertainment to some extent without really knowing what it was that a matter of just childhood you'd like doing X, Y, and Z, or was it just because sometimes it is just like a feeling you can't explain it, it's just like I just feel like I need to go in this direction. So how did that come together for you?
Yeah, so it was, when you take in the moment, you never know where the path is going, but when you get to a certain point and then you look back, you say, "Okay, I can see all the stepping stones." So even as a child, I remember my parents buying me a cassette player. And this was back in the 80s, like the mid 80s. And this particular cassette tape player had an instructional tape that would tell me all the directions of how to use a cassette player. And then just going from there to watching my dad, who was doing radio at the time. He wasn't doing music, but he was still doing radio, and he would take me to the radio station when he would drop off his broadcast. So those little seeds were planted. And then years later, when my dad started the church, I became the sound guy. And I was always into music, so I bought this boom box, and I would buy like all these CDs. Back in the day, they had this situation called Columbia House, where you could buy like 12 CDs for like a penny, or something like that. So I would
Yeah.
have like all these different names that I was using. I was getting like CDs on top of CDs, and I would make these tapes. And I would
Okay.
make these tapes and pass them out to people in the community, people at church. And my dad, I remember to this day, he would say, "Man, I want y'all to see this young man right here. He got these tapes. Man, he one of the hottest Christian DJs that's out there." I'm like, "I'm not a DJ. I'm not a DJ. I'm not a DJ. I just like making music or whatever." And then fast forward even past that, we would have people come in to our church to do, these alternatives to Halloween, like Hallelujah Nights or whatever. And they would come in and do music, and I would be controlling the music. You know what I mean? Like not thinking in my brain like this is what I'm gonna be doing, for life. It was, again, looking back, you kind of see that path and all those little seeds planted. And then you see the journey. And so yeah, so I mean, I don't think it was a it didn't really click until I did radio. Then I thought I was just gonna be a radio guy. I was still trying to be a rapper. But then when I started to actually DJ, that's it stuck. I tried every instrument. I did drums, I did trumpet, I did piano, nothing really stuck. But getting behind these two turntables, it was like, man, this is it. This is it.
So looking back on the journey was roughly 20 years. Yeah,
20 years.
2002.
Yeah.
Wow. So these 20 years to the point where you are now, I see pictures and videos. And I'm like, oh, he really doing it. Okay. What has been, I would say, for you, even in a space like that, and the crowd, the energy, the basically you get the opportunity to set the atmosphere wherever you go, right? And so what has been the most rewarding about that you would say in that journey?
So, I think every stage of the journey has a different set of rewards. So, I think starting out, just the reward of knowing that I'm actually doing what I love. So, back at Liberty, doing stuff with the dunk team. Then, progressing from there, starting a group with another brother from Liberty, Jason Lewis, who was AKA Humble Tip. We started our thing, doing our thing at Liberty, getting him an endorsement deal through LU. And whatnot. And then after our time had come to an end, taking the next milestone step where at that point I started working with Lecrae and Tadashi and Tripley and Andy Mineo and KB and all those guys and getting a tour of the world with them. It was like, bro, like where do I go from here? Like this is like the mountaintop. At least in the Christian space, at that particular time, it's like, man, where do I go from here? And after I parted ways with them, which was a good parting ways, I parted ways because I came back to my city, Durham, North Carolina, with the intentions of being a part of a church plant. And so pursuing that, I wasn't able to commit to the demand of their tour schedule. It was time to make the move. But I continued to do my thing as a DJ, and then I started thinking through, okay, well, what can I do? I mean, I'm doing these youth groups, these youth camps, and this and that stuff is cool. And I still do some of that stuff today, but it's like, man, I need to start moving more into the corporate scene. And I remember there was a point where I was just ready to like really give it up and be done. And I remember going on YouTube one day. And I saw a DJ. His name is Deadmau5, real famous EDM DJ. And I'm watching this guy and I'm looking at the crowd and I'm like, okay, this dude is in a stadium. There's no band, there's no artist. Like he's rocking. I ain't never seen nothing like that. I had never seen nothing like that. And I said, okay, so I need to be doing that. And I remember at this point, I didn't have any gigs. I had just stopped working with Reach. I was doing stuff with the church plant. I had to go get a regular job and all that. So I'm not knowing, like I'm thinking this DJ thing is over till I see that. And I remember going to the studio to my studio and I started working on a routine. And it was a routine to Andy Mineo's song Uno Uno Seis. And back in that time, there was this big EDM record by this cat named Bauer called the Harlem Shake. You saw all these challenges. Like, I feel like the dance challenge on YouTube thing started with this particular record. So I created a routine with Andy Mineo's record, Uno Uno Seis, and that Bow Wow record. And I remember my wife, Zion, was like, "Man, what are you, why are you rehearsing this? You ain't got no shows." I was like, "Man, I don't know. I just got a feeling I just need to be ready." And I remember out of nowhere, Lecrae gives me a call, says, "Hey, man, I need you to do a fill-in date for me in St. Louis. This is big event, whatever, whatever." So I go out to St. Louis. He kills it, of course. It's like 6,000 people in the building. It's crazy. The show's crazy. He looks at the clock. We're at the end of his set. He's got 5 minutes left. He looks back at me and says, "Hey, man, you want this 5 minutes?" I said, "Yes." I was ready. I was ready. I did that 5 minute set. The crowd is like, by this time, Lecrae's gone, the drummer's gone, the whole team is gone. I'm on stage by myself and I'm rocking it. 6,000 people, I got them eating out the palm of my hand. It was crazy. I get backstage and Lecrae says, "Dude, whatever that is, that's what you need to be doing." So that was crazy. And that's what I've been doing ever since.
I think one of the I think the biggest takeaway was the right there at the end where you just said, "I really don't know what I'm preparing for, but I just know I gotta be ready."
Gotta be ready.
And I think that's just a stage that we're all on right now, that I see what, how God is doing. It's like something is on the verge of breaking, something on the verge is, or there's something on the verge of just opening up and just the heavens opening. And it comes with that preparation of just being ready, and so I'm sure you can definitely look back and say, "I'm glad I was." Even if it made no sense at the time, even if, I could have been doing a whole bunch of other things, I decided to focus on that particular, on that craft, at that particular stage, and look what it did, and so that's pretty dope. And so looking go well, let me back that up. So even with that, looking at the not the atmosphere, what's the word? The audiences, there you go, that you normally have. I'm always interested and ask this question a lot when I see, especially people in entertainment, as it relates to kingdom work, I guess you want to call it. How has that, not necessarily the balance, but what are some of the challenge that you have faced as it relates to, I'm a Christian DJ, because I'm sure all the events are, I'm sure, aren't Christian, which they shouldn't be, in my opinion. But just in those spaces, how do you find yourself navigating through that? Or and or it's like, are there songs that you just like refuse to play? You don't even care if everybody asks you. So,
Yeah, that's a great question. So right now, I would say probably about 95 to 98% of my events are quote unquote non-Christian events. But it's so cool because there's a lot of Christian people who come to those events. And I've just found like there's just an audience, whether they be Christian or not, that just wants to have fun in a really clean environment. You know what I mean? And yeah, so I do have a standard of music. Like all the music that I play is clean. There is music that I'm like, okay, I'm absolutely not playing that ever. In the last big event that I did was I did this joint for UNC Charlotte. I did their homecoming and I was opening up for this R&B artist named Lucky Day.
I've
And
heard them.
It was a real cool atmosphere because it was college, but it was a rapper that came on after me, and then Lucky came up and did his thing. But for me, it was like, bro, like I want to have fun. Like we don't have to do all the things that certain spaces in the nightlife world have to do. Like a lot of people, they'll look at my videos like, oh man, them people look lit, bro. They had to be, this and that. I said, nah, bro. It was like, the only drink we had in the building was water. They was there to enjoy the music, bro. Like it's straight up, like that's the main attraction. So I don't get invited to bars. a lot
Okay.
because that's not my vibe. And I mean, I do get invited every now and then, and I like to just play music. And people are always like, "Man, like you jamming," and we just vibing. And I just love creating that space. I think the other part to it is what I've learned, because the me, I would say almost 15 years ago, would not approve of what I'm doing now.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Not happening.
Huh.
But I feel like as we grow and mature, you have to know, and again, it's about looking at what is in front of you, looking at the path, and then asking yourself this question, okay, am I forcing this path, or is this organically happening? Are these like, is this the Lord like really making this path for me? You know what I mean? And so I think that looking at it from that angle, I've done DJ battles. I've gotten to meet some incredible people, some incredible DJs, some incredible music execs. I'm not even going to sit here and name drop because that would not be right. I don't try to do that. But I've just
This is
organically,
your spotlight. Just go ahead.
but I've just been able to meet some really, really cool people. And one of the coolest things that I've gotten to do, I will say this is probably a highlight. I did a DJ battle here in my city. And I remember doing this battle, and I was struggling because I had never done a DJ battle before. And if anybody knows anything about DJ battle, like you're going head to head against another DJ. And in the hip hop world, it's all about getting those oohs and ahs from the crowd. And I remember going to some buddies of mine, some other pat, because at this time I'm now an assistant pastor at a church, right? And here I am about to go do this in this hip hop club and do a DJ battle. And I was asking some of my dudes, I was like, "Hey man, like I really want to do this, but I don't want to do it like everybody else. Like, should I just do regular routines and whatever? Or should I like destroy this guy?" And unanimously, they all said, "Hey man, you got to cut his head off.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
You got to. Like, if you want that respect in that space, you got to do it." And so I did it. And I mean, I killed this dude. Like, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. And at the end of my set, I always carve in at least 30 seconds where I can share my faith. And it's like what I have learned, because as starting out in Christian hip hop, one of the biggest myths that we believed was we can't go over into the hip hop community and do what we do because they're not going to accept what we're talking about. Not true. I found that to be not the truth. What I have found is they may not agree with you, but if you're good at your craft, they'll respect you. They'll hear what you got to say and they'll respect you. And so I think that was one of the biggest lessons for me, that just like, okay, now that I see that honing my craft as a DJ earns that respect, let me continue to hone my craft. But now there's a whole new world that's opened up to me that I can go to and do my thing and not just be exclusive to Christian spaces. So that's been a huge highlight.
I think that's so good. Because I feel like we used to hear a lot of that when it comes to movies, and I think when Christian hip hop, I don't know, I feel like I knew about Christian hip hop, but then when I came to Liberty, it was like this whole new world, and I was just like, oh, okay, and it was just like Lecrae. I was like, okay, who the heck is this guy? Because
That's what
I
I
grew
said, the first time I ever
up.
heard of him.
I mean, I knew about what's the guy's name? I don't know if you remember BBJ, and
Yeah.
then it was what was it? What's the crew? It was like three guys.
Gospel
the Cross
Gangsters,
Movement, I think.
Cross
Is that what they were
Movement,
called?
yep.
Yeah. So I was familiar with them, and it was just kind of like, oh, okay, they're okay. And so I just kind of put that on the side, and then Liberty, for whatever reason, opened my eyes. Oh, there's a whole world that is involved, So, but I think you used to see it. I know I saw it there, but also in like movies where it's kind of like when it's Christian, it's almost like you that it was a negative connotation because it was going to be cheesy and it was going to be whack, you know. But I'm so grateful now to see a lot of Christian entertainment that is actually done in excellence, you know, because it does make a difference, you know. And obviously that crosses so many different spectrums, but especially when you're on the stage, you know. And so when you're good at what you do, people are like, oh man, like I don't, you know, I may, like you said, I may not believe what you're saying, but dang, like you killed that dough.
And I think the other thing is, like, again, looking at my path, when I was at Liberty, I was DJing, I was doing radio. But again, starting out with my guy Humble Tip, and then even moving and doing what I was doing with Reach, which was DJing and part managing as well, I knew at some point I would fully get into. Because I mean, again, I'm pushing 40. I mean, I know guys like Jazzy Jeff and Grandmaster Flash. These dudes are way older than me. I mean, hip hop is about to be 50 next month, January rather. And Grandmaster Flash, one of the godfathers of this thing, is still out there doing his thing. They inspire me. But I knew I also wanted to get into the executive stuff too. And so moving into that space now, dealing with Christian artists, and even non-Christian artists, but from a perspective of a Christian executive, going into that space and moving differently. That's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother situation. Because being in that executive side has definitely opened up my eyes to realize that there is no such thing as the Christian music industry. It's just the music industry. It's just the music industry. A lot of people who do stuff in the mainstream are the people who do stuff on the Christian side. It's just another industry, another genre of music. But so just trying to be a light, even in the Christian music world and non-Christian music world, that's where I'm at now, and I'm really, really enjoying that. I get to work with some amazing talents, people like my guy Brandon Murphy, who had a Billboard number one last summer. Guys like my man Royce Lovett, who was formerly with Motown, was on The Voice. Guys like my guy Kobe James, who's this up and coming monster in the CCM space. I get a chance, and then of course working with my team, my guy Sam Fisher, who's a part of my team with Paravel Global, and all those guys, man, it's just amazing the spaces that we get to be in.
That's so exciting. So this kind of leads into the just the next part. So we're gonna like, I gotta start wrapping up. But so what are you looking to do? Either I get you went to Liberty, so I hope you know what this is. Your BHAG, right? So what was your so what is your BHAG? With
Big,
I guess
hairy, audacious
DJ.
goal.
Yes, thank you. I feel like every time I say that, everybody's like, "What?" I'm like, "Oh,
Oh, yeah.
like, come on." But what is that? I guess short term, and but I guess your BHAG is something more long term. But so, what are kind of what are your plans or
For
what's
sure.
the things that you're working on now? There you
Yeah. So
go.
I definitely got a lot of irons in the fire right now.
Okay.
So as a DJ, I am looking to go out on tour. I'm already booking my 2023 tour, which I'm super duper excited about. We got a new concept that we're about to introduce. I'm amped about that. We've been sitting on it for about 2 years because we had to
Oh,
wait to see. Yeah, because COVID and everything. But we're about to unleash the beast on that. But apart from that, I do run another branch of my DJ company where I have other DJs that work with me.
nice.
Through some of my connections at Liberty, I was able to connect with some amazing new business partners to be able to send out other DJs to do stuff that I really don't care about doing, like weddings. And Brett, I'm a tour DJ. I'm not a wedding guy. And so I'm looking to have at least 10 DJs on that roster. Then I've got another roster with my organization, Paravel Global, with three artists that I personally manage. And then we have a booking roster of probably at least 10 to 12 acts,
Okay.
ranging from contemporary Christian music to Earth, Wind, and Fire cover bands. And so we're looking to put everybody on the road in 2023,
Okay.
bringing in more young people who want to become executives, who want to get into the business and get them on a fast pace where they can learn and make money in the business. So that's the short term, long term plan.
Okay.
'Cause at some point I got to get off the road. I've been doing it for 20 years. I love it, but with four kids, I want to be more hands-on here at home a lot more. And I have been, I definitely get it. I mean, now I'm at a point where I can really pick and choose what I want to do, which is great. Shout out to my man DJ R&B. I see you, bro. He's one of my guys that I'm rocking with, who we're putting out there. He's got this joint called Kingdom Karaoke. It's killer. And so, yeah, we just out here putting our hands to the plow, trying to get it. I was talking to one of my dudes today. You know him, my brother Jody, J Beats
Yes,
Exclusive.
hey,
I got him doing a gig for me this weekend in Lynchburg.
Johnny.
I think it's at Liberty, actually. I just got the, I think it's at Liberty. So yeah, I'm just trying to, I'm, and I told him, I said, bro, it's a lot out here, dude. Like, it's a lot out here. It's enough for everybody to eat. And I'm trying to go get it. I'm trying to go get it.
It's enough for, oh, that's a word right there. And for everybody. So with that being said, as far as looking for people to fill in those roles, for lack of a better term, or those voids, let's just use that word, that are with the company and what it is that you're building the business behind being a DJ and all of that. How can people either get in contact with you or with your company for the sake of booking, or to say, hey, how can I be a part of what you're doing?
Yeah, so I mean, always the best point of contact for me is I'm on all social platforms, just at DJ P-Dawg. If they want to reach out, if there's artists that's out there, you need consultations or whatnot, we do consultations for artists. We do a lot. We do college bookings. And so, just reach out, just hit me up. DM me, shoot me an email, djpdog at djpdog.com. That's the best spot to get at me, for whatever, and we'll make it happen. And I always say, I know we got the whole BHAG thing, but I say this, if you're, because especially going into 2023, we're at that point now, everybody's making their resolutions or whatever. Here, let me tell you what my mantra is. All right, you ready for this? You ready?
I'm ready.
Dreaming is
Dreaming.
for people who are asleep. Vision is for people who are woke.
All right.
And so if you like, I know people say chase your dreams, like dreaming is cool, but at some point you gotta wake up and live that thing out, and it's gotta be, you gotta have a vision to make that happen and make it a reality. And so have a vision. That's another thing we learned. We got that joint got pounded in us, right? Have
Yeah.
vision.
Without a vision, people perish.
You gotta have a vision. You gotta have a vision. Reverse engineer that sucker. If you don't know what to do, find somebody who knows. Go to YouTube University, go to Google, find it. Like, if you, it's out there. So, yeah.
Man, there's a lot of like whole messages and all of that. And so I'm putting all these quotes. When you see me like looking away, that's because I'm writing it. Once you see your page, this is your page. Right here.
Well, listen, I'm gonna say this. I've been seeing you doing your thing for a couple of years now, and I'm like, man, I'm just happy that you've been being consistent. And so keep doing your thing, sis. Like, I mean, I know sometimes it can get weary because you might not see the numbers that you want, but being consistent is the key. Do your thing. I love watching your content, love watching what you do. I love seeing that you're not quick to follow the trendy trends. I can't stand that mess, man. Like, that's a whole other, it's a whole other situation. Do your thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad that you invited me, and I'm glad to have done this.
Well, it's been a joy and an honor and a privilege to hear your story, because like I said, we were at Liberty together, but it was kind of like in passing. It was kind of like, hey, and then it was like, you go over here, I go over here, you know. But it's been incredible just to hear the journey behind the pictures, because they're like small little crowds, and then I see like arenas and stadiums, and I'm like, wait a second. So he really doing this thing. Okay.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, so then do I, so please tell Ms. Zion I said hello.
I will.
I believe that, you know, like you had already been talking about with everything that you guys are planning, you know, for 2023, obviously the last really has been 3 years, 2020, 21, and then 22, is kind of like, oh, so we're really back open now. So all that planning, you know, but I can't wait to see even what that next level is going to look like, you know, for you guys.
For
Because
sure.
it's talking about our BHAGs, you know, it's like, that's what we think it's going to be. But God's like, you can't see me, though. You know, and he just takes it up there. So
For
I
sure.
look
Well, I'm gonna
forward
tell
to
you, I'm gonna put this bug in your ear and I'm gonna let you go. You need to have Zion on because you think what I'm doing is something.
it.
Y'all,
Okay.
look, she's a beast. My wife is a
Zion.
monster, bro. Like she's a beast.
Okay, tell
Yeah.
her. Do I follow her? Do I
She
see her?
don't do a whole lot on IG. She's in the
Okay.
executive space and doing all that stuff.
Okay.
But you know, I think it would be cool for you guys to connect and
Okay.
have that convo. Yeah. She's a beast.
All right. Well, I will do that. I got a note.
For
Zion.
sure.
All right, DJ P Dog. I won't say your government because you didn't say I could. So you didn't say I could. Teacher, thank you so much for
Yes,
coming on.
ma'am.
I can't wait to see what you do next. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
All right.
All right, have a wonderful night.
You too.
Well, that was our first guest for Purpose Spotlight. Thank you so much for joining us here. And we have our next guest, Jeff, who is I'm going to come, I believe. Yeah, he's in Atlanta. He's over in Atlanta, and so I'm giving him a minute to come on and get a chance to see the amazing things that he's doing. So I told you we were going to come back with part two of Purpose Spotlight. I can already tell this conversation is going to be good. So we have Jeff who's going to come on in just 1 second, and he's going to share what he's doing. I know he was we were both super excited about sharing, and even how we got connected was just divine, just a divine connection. So I'm super thrilled and happy to hear, you know, the amazing thing that he's doing. And dismiss, accept. Oh, this is wonderful.
Am I there? Am I there? Family, family, it's good. I'm sorry for the confusion. What's up? Can you hear me? Who's that?
This is gonna be a good conversation. I see it already. Yeah.
My husky back there? What is
Yes,
going
I see
on, my sister? Talk to me.
it. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How's my sound? Because some people don't like it when you have like the AirPods in. It might sound a little weird. Am I okay right now?
From what I can hear, yeah, you sound fine.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so before we even get started, you said you have a husky, right?
Yeah, Bello.
Okay, so are huskies really have that much personality? Because like I really want one, just because like they seem to have like the best personalities like ever.
This is my first pet ever. Yeah,
Wow.
my wife blessed me with him. He's one of a kind, though. Yes, to answer your question directly, huskies do have, you know, very interesting personalities. This guy, he never talks around me and my wife, but he'll talk around everyone else. I kid you not. If we drop him off, you know, at Petco, PetSmart, whatever, they'd be like, "Oh my God, he just wouldn't stop talking." We don't even hear him. He's creeping on me right now. He hears his name. This is my buddy. Yeah. You want to see him real quick?
Sure.
All right, I got you propped up right here. Say hi, Bello.
Hi,
Somebody say hi.
Bella. Oh, he's not paying me no mind. That is okay. That's okay.
He is a character. That's bueno.
Oh, that's cool. But nevertheless, I'm so excited that you are here and we got a chance to reconnect again. And so without any further ado, because I want to spotlight you, you have an amazing story, and amazing work that you're doing in your community. So go ahead and share a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jeff. Hi, everyone. I'm Jeff Vickers. I am a recovery and mental health advocate. I have been recently blessed with my first, you know how you feel like if you go to college and you get your degree and then you finally get your first job in the field that you studied and you like, mm-hmm. Yeah, this thing gonna pay off. I know I'm 190 million in debt, but so what? I finally got the job, right? So okay. I'm in that situation right now. I'm not in debt though, but I'm in that situation. But I'm in that situation right now, right? It's so amazing because it's like, I was out there for 32 years. My DOC was crack cocaine. I have suffered with multiple mental health diagnoses, if you will, right? I have about 28 months right now clean and sober, but that's because I had to go through the storm for over 30 years, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the majority of my life because I'll be 50 in like a week and a half, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, gotta love that. Like, amazing. But Jeffrey Vickers turning 50 mm-hmm. years old. Stop it, right? I've been counting out so many times. I've been counting out too many times because of the walk. You know what I mean? That walk, that journey, that struggle that we go through to get from, you know, tragedy to triumph is mm-hmm. what it's all about. Because I'm a living testimony. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have people, especially on IG. I love IG. But we have people, everyday people, okay, that you would have no idea, okay, that person is a person in long-term recovery. Mm. You know, that loving sister that everybody is like, oh, we just love her. That like, yeah, mm-hmm. 10 years ago, she would have been in your purse. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? We see what we see, and we don't understand the journey that people go through. So being that I'm in the position I'm in right now, oh, we got to get there. I am a group facilitator. This mm-hmm. is what, you know, I had prefaced earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm a group facilitator, and what I do is I speak to people. Mm. Yeah. Okay. A group facilitator. Okay, so I guess you plan, you manage, and you coordinate topics within the group study, you know what I mean? Yeah. To bring it, you know, from concept, if you will, to the fruition, which you would want it to be a call to action of some sort. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. today we were talking about change. What is change? We spoke about that. Then I said, well, what's one thing that everybody wants to change? We spoke about that. And I'm like, okay, how long you been wanting to change it? Average was probably about a year. I've been saying I'm gonna change this for a year. And then it's like, why not? It's fear. And then we list all the fears. So it's what, you know what I mean? What's more important? What's more important, right? What I've come to realize is that when we get in a position of service, like, mm. I mean, I go there. Hey, how you doing? I go there about what? 3 days a week, Mondays, mm-hmm. Tuesdays, and Fridays I'm there, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking to these people who have mental health and or recovery circumstances. So I mm-hmm. can relate to the demographic, you know what I mean? But the beauty is this is the beauty, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is when we get the purpose. I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in today. And I'm literally I just got the job last month. I freelance. They pay me through my company, but I freelance 1099. You know, it's not like I'm employed there. So I'm in a position where I could work at other facilities too, and I'm you know, to do that as well. But it's just like, it's amazing that 3 days a week I go to have conversations with people and just, you know, to be a resource to people who need a little bit of assistance.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't struggle for 32 years smoking crack. Like really, like I'm blunt with it. I'm from New York. You know, I'm gonna keep it 100 all the way.
Yeah.
It's like, who would have thought? Like, I didn't go to college for the job. Like, you know, I do my advocacy. People know about my book and, you know, and they know my passion like, I'm straight sincere with it. I didn't go to school or anything like that. It's just that, you know, some of us know how to disseminate information a little better than others. That's all. You know? And it's like, I would not be in this situation had I not gone through that struggle. I need more, you know, sessions. Don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? But even if it was one session a week, I think I'm doing 7 a week, right? But even if it was one a week to get paid, literally, to speak to people, to help people, to dump love into people. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so that's what's going on with me currently. Like, I am overjoyed that 3 days a week, I get to speak to people about stuff that I learned. Real life experiences. And then, of course, you know, because we speak to them from CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. You know? And yeah, it's CBT and DBT work as well. Excuse me. You know what I mean? And I throw in my message of empowerment all the way, because ain't no reason, you know, there's no need for us to have conversations about any of this if we're not going to do something.
Yeah.
And that do part is the empowering part. When we get to it, when we read a book, right? I'm going to just grab this one. This is my boy, though. What you know about Raekwon?
The chef.
So if this was like a nonfiction, which it's over there, but whatever. But this book right here, right? I'm going through this book and he's giving me lessons, methods, strategies, and tactics on how to make change. If I don't take it upon myself to implement anything this man says in the book, who am I to say the book is false? We do that. There are resources abundantly for us to learn how we can start getting on the road to wellness, no matter what our situation is. And I don't know. It's been an interesting journey, and I'm on. I always say, people say don't, you know, don't say only, but you know, I'm only like 28 months. I don't even have 3 years clean and sober yet, but it's just very interesting where God, you know, has put me. Very interesting where He's put me, you know, in a position of service, because that's all I have been doing from day one. Even the book, that's service. You know what I mean? I'm not even, like, honestly, I'm not even charging what I know that I could be charging for the book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's still service, right? And I got the workbook that's coming out now that we're going to work in tandem with the book. And we're doing that at the facility. Like, and that's another thing. Like, I'm able literally, like, they have one of my books in the library. I take, like, from what I create. And these people, these people trust what I'm talking about based on my pain, based on right that I had to go through in order to become triumphant, and they're like, "Yeah, no problem. We know what you do. Yes, you want to teach? You want to teach out your book? Yeah. Oh, you got a workbook that's coming out. When you finish the workbook, of course you already know. And we got some people we need to get you in contact with so they can start using your book and your workbook. But if it wasn't for the 30-something years." The dysfunction, the three prison terms from 90 to 92, 93 to 96, 99 to 2008. Like, I did 10 years straight. My last bit, I did 10 years straight. Like, if it wasn't for all of that stuff that when I was in the middle of it, felt like I was a piece of doo-doo, felt like I wasn't worth anything, felt like, you know, I'm going to die in prison, or, you know what I mean? When I get back out there, I know I'm gonna blow my life up, because that's what That's what I saw. But what I've learned from then to now is there's never a reason that I should ever let outside circumstances change my perspective about myself again in life. And that's called being woke, long story short. We, you know what I'm saying? To demystify what being woke is about. Being woke is about woke. I was blind, but now I see the light to who I am, to what my potential is. And when you on that wave right there, people going to look at you strange and you're going to look at everything different. Everybody's strange now. If you ain't chasing, greatness, everybody's strange to me. If you ain't chasing greatness on one level or another. Like, if at no point in your day, you know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. Like, I lax a lot. You know what I'm saying? I procrastinate a lot. I got a lot of unfinished projects and goals and stuff. Don't get me wrong. So it's not like I'm trying to judge anybody. Yeah. But when you get to that side, it's just like, okay, what are you co-creating? What are you putting into the universe based on the pain that you went through? But now you're here now, and you've come to a realization, and because of the wisdom of your personal experience, what are you doing with that? Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? What are you doing with that? Now you got some people that make that, you know, and it's okay. But then it's like, to me, they're just regular folk.
Yeah.
Because if you're not taking what you have learned about yourself based on your own experience.
Yeah.
And when you get to a certain point that you just like, wow, that's the way I used to think about myself. Ha, ha, ha. So silly of me. No matter what it looked like, could have been a dope fiend, could have been, it don't matter what it looked like. That's the way you perceived yourself. So your behaviors was based on the way you perceived yourself. And now you wake up to who you truly are. You can never go back to sleep. You can never go back to sleep. It's just like, okay, now that I know what I know, how can I put that out there to the universe to help someone else who's in a similar circumstance? How can I do that? Through my art? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you manifest the creation.
Yeah.
When you find your purpose, you must manifest creation.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done for a second. Give me a second. Woo, I'm done for a second. Running my mouth.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Great. A lot of nuggets there.
That's
dope, though. And I think it's amazing the turnaround time, you know, from 28 years, almost 30, and to see where you are already. You know, to see what you've already been able to accomplish, like that's like super dope. And I'm excited to see, and I see your, obviously passion, but the word enthusiasm, you know, because you're able to make that, connection, and you're able to help people in a way that your average person who did go to school and they studied rehab, you know, they come into these places, but they don't have that experience. So there's already this disconnect that's there, you know, but to see you jump in really what it seems like head first and say, you know what, like I'm done. And you know what, my recovery, we're going to share it, you know, we're going to get it done. And would you say that in that process of helping others, that's helped to maintain your sobriety?
100%, and not just maintained it, but has expanded my understanding of what this thing is. Because there's levels to this.
There's levels to this, Nia.
You know that.
You know,
no matter what you're engaged in, especially if we're talking about, you know, life-changing or transformative information. When I dump love into people, it doesn't just maintain my sobriety. What it has done is through countless conversations, like how you just wrote down, you said, oh, couple of nuggets, right? That's how I learned to start leveling up my understanding, right? And my understanding and my curiosity to learn more about advocacy. Like, I'm health services. Like, that, it's a mental health services outpatient / residential situation.
Okay. Yeah,
I started off talking about I recover out loud because I use out loud. That's still But everything was recovery, and I didn't speak about my mental health issues. You know what I mean? I started off with that, and I'm just like, eventually I will. I'll come out and I'll eventually start talking direct about it. But God put me in a situation where the people I'm speaking to, they're diagnosed with almost anything you can think of. And it's beautiful because we're still And don't quit your diet. Don't be your diet.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, I just had a SI flare up. You know what that is? Like, probably less than a month ago.
Okay.
Suicidal ideation. I suffer from that, right? Excuse me. I used to suffer, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Suffer from that. All right. I'm definitely managing that. So not too long ago, I kind of had a flare up.
Mm-hmm.
This is the beautiful thing. The beautiful thing is I was able to go to work and transparently share what I went through with a group of beautiful souls that I knew wouldn't judge me. Mm. On the clock. Like, just keeping it real, like, on the clock. And then they turn around and they just like, dude, we don't be saying stuff like that. We love you, dude. You keeping it 100 with us for real.
Yeah.
We hear all of this and all that, but we never get an inside peek of nobody personally. But my thing is, I'm a resource.
Mm-hmm.
When I went up in there, I was like, yo, I'm like, don't. You see me on all social media so you can see what kind of dude I am. I'm just regular degular, but I'm not playing about me manifesting my greatness. Not what you say I should be doing. Not what you think I should be doing. What you think I should be doing. Come on, knock it off. Okay? Yeah. Manifesting my greatness because I found my greatness. And many people, they haven't found themselves. Come on, I'm going on 50. I'm just finding myself. So it's no judgment, but it's what's real is real.
Yeah.
We chasing everything but self. I'm about chasing self. I'm about chasing me. I don't chase a high no more. I never really chased no woman, to be honest, you know, but like, I'm about chasing me. You know what I'm saying? Anything else that I see out there, that look good, right?
But mm-hmm.
Sure that y'all see what I'm putting out there as well.
Yeah.
You understand what it is? Hey, I got something to say too. So I'm sure that you hear, you know, my little slice, my little facet of the conversation as well. Do whatever you want with it, but I said it. I said it so you know. As opposed, you know, to how life used to be for me and how life was for so many people that I was around, slaves. Even if it wasn't getting hot, just slaves. Just wake up, go sleep. And you know this means go out, go to work, come back, go to sleep. That's it. Just wake up, go to sleep. I can't do that. I gotta keep pushing to find out like how much I can learn about myself and then how much you choose to share with the world. This is a journey, you know? This is really a journey, and I'm learning a lot, you know, learning a lot about myself. Stuff I, you know, still got to cut off, got to purge some characteristics, we all do, and it should always be like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, 100, you still should be purging, but growing, purging and growing.
Yeah.
That's just where I'm at with it, you know, and I'm just so happy, you know, overall, I've been happy with life for a little while now, but now I'll change that word to, I'm just got this joy because of this new position. Like, I ain't had to go to school. We say, went to the school of hard knocks.
Yeah.
And that's literally what happened in my case. I went to the school of hard knocks. I didn't go to college to get no degree to do what I'm doing right now. This is lived experience. Like really. And when it's lived experience, and then they like, you know what? Your lived experience and the way that you can disseminate and assist right now, we find that to be valuable. I go to school for 4 years, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, all of that. We find your experience to be valuable and the work that you've been putting in, the work that you've been putting in since you've been clean and sober. You ain't wait 2 years and then say, I'm gonna be an advocate. Day one, you came out blasting. But let me tell you this. One of the reasons why I chose to do it is to be held accountable. But I didn't think that I didn't think that God had put on my heart to write a book or anything like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
I've always been, you know, swift with the word. I'm a good writer. I know I am. But like sit down and write a book along these lines and really be honest about where I'm at and yeah. Never saw that coming.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an amazing place to be, you know, to, like I said, just jump out, jump in head first like you did and have other people recognize that, you know, and to be in a place where you can see the immediate impact, you know, you can ask the questions and you can be transparent, you know, because sometimes I think that's where people tend to fall short is that they get to a certain point, you know, or to a certain stage, but then they kind of forget, you know, that either life is still happening or that life happened to them. And so they miss that glorious opportunity to really create meaningful relationships and meaningful connections in such a way that it's inspiring, you know, in such a way that says, hey, if you can do it, okay, let me do it, you know. And, you know, if you fall, I know that I don't have to be perfect. I know that mistakes are going to happen, you know. I know that I'm going to fall for one reason or another, but because I've seen you get up, you know, because I've seen you walk that journey and be willing to not give up on myself, you know, or not to, you know, give up on who I know I am now that I have a better image about myself, you know, and so now I can become that person. And I think, you know, something that, that I've heard even in business, and that's that very same thing that you said where your business in that case will never outgrow your self-image, you know? And so even with what you're doing, even whether you are a drug addict or you are the head of a Fortune 500 company or you're a wonderful singer or whatever, your behaviors are going to reflect how you feel about yourself. Indeed. You know what I mean? And so, and it goes so far beyond, you know, what you see, what do you call it? What you see in front of the camera, because, you know, everybody got a life behind us. Everybody got a life behind it. And that's that, where that integrity and that, who are you really, you know, and that self-discovery journey, it's a beautiful thing. And it goes in cycles, you know, because you learn all these things and then you get settled in those things. And then you go back through it again and say, okay, let's purge. Let's see, let's work that out, you know, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's just like, okay, we think we good, but he's like, no, you're not. We gotta redo some stuff. And it's that continual thing, but it's beautiful though. And it's exciting, you know? And I think that even with, you know, reaching 50, it's just an awesome thing. Like, age is only a number. You know, like if you ever get to the point where you no longer want to learn or you feel like, you know, I found it all. I know it all. I've reached my end. And it's like, you've already lost. It's like, you know,
you got half my age that feel that way about themselves. And it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so sad because I'm one of them, but I just expressed it through a drug addiction. You have people who they have no purpose. They have no sense of self. No sense of self. It's just like, today I'm going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to do that. The next day, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to just keep doing whatever. It's like you have no direction. But who are you? Get direction. Who are you? People don't even know. Like, forget characteristics. Forget adjectives. Forget, you know, identifying factors. You know what I mean? Like, I'm Jeff. No, I'd ask what your name was. You know, people be like, oh, what do you mean? Who am I?
Yeah.
Don't even know.
Yeah. Don't know. Yeah. I think it.
Knows, but you don't know nothing about you.
Yeah, this whole society, I think, is part of an identity crisis. In so many facets, from the Black community to the young people. You know, I hate, the church has made me dislike that term, the young people. But from the young people to just people who work that mundane 9-to-5 work, sleep, like all that, it's just this, we don't know who we are. You know, and until we,
how can you when you don't, you don't etch out any time?
You don't etch out. And I think there's no standard from what I can see. And so for me, you know, it's become a matter of, okay, I don't know who I am. And if I'm believe and I believe I'm created, then the best way to leap to the best starting point is to deal with my creator, because he knows how I'm supposed to function, right? He knows when there's something that's when there's a screw that's not all the way tight, that needs to be a little bit tighter. Like, he knows all that, when something's broken, when something's not functioning, but also, what am I best made for? And in discovering more about the creator, you find out about the creation, you find about who you are, and so and when that happens, like you've already explained, it just opens a whole new world, because you start to behave differently. And so because you're behaving differently, your circles want to change a little bit. People want to say, and people want to say, "Oh, you're changing." You say, "Thank you. I
Cool.
thank you." Thank you.
Change. That makes no sense. Like, being in high school, like, you got grown folk, like, it's just, I don't know.
So, but and
We have an associate tell me that. Don't she friend? But she was like, "Oh, you changed up on me." I'm like, "Thanks, sis." She's like, "You know what I mean." I know I don't know what you mean. I changed. Yes. Yeah. I'm living my life. Yeah.
What do you call it? You got a lot of, what did they say? Grown children, basically, is what a lot of people, a lot of these grown children, because they're just stuck in certain mindsets. But even apart from that, just given everything that you've already been talking about and what it is that you're doing, what are some things that you are currently, if I can use the word promoting right now, that you are in the process of working on producing, within the immediate future and long term?
Ah, thanks. So, oh man, so much I gotta get. I gotta cut. I gotta what do they call that? Stuff right now. I have loose ends going on. I have loose. I have projects. So, what's supposed to happen is I'm supposed to finish this workbook. I gotta get back to my new cover for the book that already exists. Right here. All right. But we have a new cover and it's uploaded on Kindle, but I had to unpublish the paperback version of the new cover because I got to work on it on that side, if it makes sense. This looks different in like in your hand as opposed to on KDP.
Kindle, yeah.
A JPEG I have nice and crispy, but if she was supposed to, Amazon is like, nah, dude. So I gotta go back to the drawing board with the new book
Change
cover.
some measurements and all that stuff.
But the workbook, I'm excited about the workbook. Yeah, really. I'm excited about the workbook. Got a couple of more chapters to finish with the workbook. That definitely will be out. It'll be out by January for sure.
Ah, sweet.
I wanted it to be out by my birthday, which is the 7th, December 7th. But in order, that's like
Wednesday.
two weeks, right? But I mean, I had to write in order for that to happen, and I wasn't.
That is true. That is very true.
That's not happening. We're gonna shoot BS. That's really it. In the short term, that's really it. Because after that, it'll be for a different market. What I'm doing would be for a different market, but I can share. So, being that I am a facilitator now, and I am already quite good at what I do. I've spoken to a couple of people where I'm at, and I said, "Hey, if I come up with some templates," he was like, "Go for it, bro. You just go for it. Go for it." You know what I mean? So that's what is gonna happen most likely after the workbook. I'm gonna put together some templates for people who's doing the same thing I'm doing, but infuse the stuff that's gonna be in my workbook and sell the other group facilitators. Hey.
All right, well, I look forward to seeing that. And so with everything between the workbook, between the book that you already have, and or for the sake of say, hey, we want you to come speak or be featured in this or whatever, how can people get connected with you?
They get connected to me right on here. I'm on everything except Twitter. I'm on under my regular name. I'm on Facebook under Sober Slogans. I'm on here. I'm on LinkedIn. and on TikTok.
Got you. Now, I don't know if you do. Yes, you Jeff Vickers, right? Okay.
Oh,
I was like, did you take a sip? I'm sorry, I couldn't remember if you said your full name already, because some people are real picky about their, you know, their, what do you call it, their government names. I just want to make sure Jeff Vickers. Okay. And that's what's on Facebook. Okay. That's
profile. And then, because this is under Sober Slogans, right? Under Sober Slogans. That's the brand name. That's the brand. That's all. But, yep.
Okay.
I definitely want people to check out my regular profile, my Jeff Vickers profile on Facebook. I got some stuff on that. I didn't mention like different little ideas that I have about social media. That, you know, I got a million of those. I think we all do. Every day you wake up, you're like, holy snap, let me try that. I have a question that is so, it's on point. Listen. And maybe whoever's on here, if y'all know, let me know. So what I used to do was, like, if I had a reel, an IG reel that I was doing. Okay. So I start the reel, and then we get to the part where you can add all the elements, right? A friend of mine showed me how to copy a photo, and then I can use the photo as an overlay on my reel. And I've been doing that for months. For like the last 2 days, and I'm not able to do it. Anybody know about that?
Maybe that's the Instagram glitch. I saw something on Twitter about it. I didn't read up, so I would say give it like to the end of the week and then try it again. Because sometimes stuff like that, just Instagram, bless your heart. We thank you, Instagram, for the platform. But sometimes you'd be acting a little shady. So just, if you've been able to do it at one point, just give it like to the end of the week to get all the glitches out, and then you're able to do it again.
Yeah, I got you. Because I like being able to put, like, you know, you got your picture, you got your video, and then you put a picture over it. I've been doing that for a while. I mean, I could do it on Adobe, but it's easy when you could do it right. But that's what I like.
Yeah, but, that's a good feature, though.
Yeah, excuse me.
So we have all of this amazing information. I had an incredible conversation already. Jeff Vickers, Facebook, LinkedIn, and then, of course, Sober Slogans, which is here now. You have your book and all of that. What is your message as we close out this part? What is your message to those who have family who are in recovery right now?
Who have family?
Family, or let me put it this way, people that they care about that are currently in recovery.
Meaning that person that I'm speaking to is the person who's in recovery and they have family that's also in recovery?
No. The person who, from the outside looking in, so they know somebody who's in recovery, but they themselves are outside.
Oh, okay. That's love. Yeah. Wow. So the person I'm speaking to is not in recovery.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Wow. No one has ever asked that. See? I love these. I love these. Good conversation. Oof. Okay, so if someone that you know, that you care for, a friend or family, is struggling with a substance use disorder, if they are in recovery, right?
The person that they care for is in recovery. Yeah.
The best thing that I can say to friends and family of people who are in recovery, so that you can identify more so with the struggle that they're going through, right?
And
the lessons that they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
We have support groups. That's number one. There's
a
plethora of support groups that, you know, let's say my son is in recovery, but I'm not. And I've never done the drug in my life, but I've been supporting him. Yeah, definitely. There are a lot of support groups for family and friends to better understand, you know, what substance use disorder is really about. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong. If that person's in recovery, you're going to hear about all the stuff that they're learning. But if you know that you was around when they was getting high, right? I think, in order to truly support the recovery journey, which is wellness, in order to truly support that, you're going to have to learn about why they started getting high in the first place. A lot of people don't want to go there.
Yeah.
If you truly, truly support this person, And now they're in recovery because people relapse.
Yeah.
So if you understand why they were getting high in the first place, and then you're looking at them like, okay, I ain't tripping. You've been getting high off heroin for 25 years. You had a year clean under your belt, went back out there. Now you're back on your feet. I can understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You was out there smoking crack. You did 5 years. Now you home and, you know, you relapsing, but you're back in a sober living. And don't worry, I got some money for you. I'm going to come see you. I can understand. But I've been doing my research on why you even, and then I know you. So now I can understand.
Yeah.
And when you get the empathy down pat, right? It's kind of hard for judgment and empathy to live in the same space.
Mm.
Kind of hard.
Yeah.
You understand who the human is. You get to understand the human. You don't want to get to know who the recovering addict is.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? No, I don't really care about that recovering addict stuff. I want to get to know why you did it in the first place, bro. So I can understand you. Because then what happens is you got this new identity.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about identity. You got this new identity. Recovery, yeah. You different now. All right, cool. But I remember when you was getting high. And I love you and I see this new version of you. But let's talk about the old version. Why you was doing it, you know, in the first place. That's how you support the journey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's how you support the journey. If, you know, and that goes really for anything. You know, really for anything. Yeah. If I love you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going through something or dealing with something that I'm not familiar with.
Mm.
If it's important to me, I'm gonna do a little research, or at least have conversations with you, candid conversations with you, and make sure that I establish a space of love and transparency, so you can dump, so you can really let me know, like. Who's doing some crazy stuff, homie?
Yeah.
Why? Then
yeah.
We can get a trauma. Then we can get you. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, in order to love on anyone, we need to dump into each other.
Yeah.
And how do you dump into each other? You converse and you share activities.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people don't do the talking thing. They'll share activities together. But they ain't gonna put you in your face even when they say they love you. It could be your wife, your baby daddy, your baby mama, your husband. But you ain't having candid conversations with that person to really get to know that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
If you want to assist anyone, have candid conversations with them. Establish, and this I'm gonna say it again, because we need to establish an area. Right? Or a space, if you will, of love and transparency, and let it be known it's a no judgment zone. Because you can't empathize and love on someone and then have judgment live in the same place. It don't work like that.
Yeah.
I really love you. How the hell am I judging you? A5-7 out the door. You walk around the corner, I'm like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Looking you, you know what I mean? Making sure you don't see it, but in my heart, I'm like judging you. You don't love that person. You frighten.
Mm.
You don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
And so with that. But that's the best advice I can give. Love on them. Have candid conversations with them about who they are. Not the label. That's why I was like, recovery, the recovering addict. People are like, try to get to know the recovering addict. I don't want to know the recovering addict. I want to know Jeff.
Yeah.
I want to know the person.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I got.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Some amazing nuggets. I can show people my notes. So when I was looking away, I was writing. So this is your page for tonight. I'll put all your information there. In the comments or in the caption once this is finished. But thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you so much for your courage and your strength. And Like we said at the beginning, just jumping in there head first, you know, and really being intentional to do it, like you said, for the accountability and to help others in the journey, you know, because it is a part of wellness. And even through this, the last part of the message to those who have family members or friends or people that they care about who are in recovery, you know, to love on them, to get to the root of the issue, you know, if you're able to, you know, and to let them know that you love them, you know, and like that thing is real, you know, and you're willing to go deep with them. Cause a lot of this stuff, you know, you don't just wake up and say, hey, I want to be an addict. Like, no, it's a process, exactly. You know, it starts with, you know, so thank you so much for that and what you're doing. And I can't wait to, see the amazing things that you do within the, you know, obviously coming into the new year with the workbook and then the other things that you shared that you're working on. You are in Atlanta, correct? You're from New York, but you're in Atlanta right now, right?
Yeah, I'm from the Boogie Down where hip hop started.
Okay. Okay, our first guest, DJ P Dog, he said, what do you say? Hip hop is about to turn 50 years old, see you right there. You know?
Nice.
Yeah.
Big
yes.
Started with my little classic hip hop stories. Yeah.
Boogie Down Bronx. Yeah. So please thank you so much for your candidness and your openness and your willingness to share your heart just for the people that you serve. Because I think it's one thing to, especially when you're in a people business, it's one thing to just do it just for the sake of doing it, but it's another thing to actually love the people and have that desire to serve, because that makes a world of a difference from a teacher to a police officer to someone who is a social worker or a recovery and mental health advocate. Like, you got to love the people that you're working with. You have to enjoy, in essence, that population in a way. Otherwise, it's like, what are you there for?
You know, yeah. It was really amazing because you said, you know, the teacher that someone literally called me Mr. Someone said today, Mr. Jeff is an amazing teacher. Whoa. Two things. We're going to drop the mister. Right? What are you talking about? Like, yeah, not being my session. No participation points for you. Interesting.
Yeah.
Jeff, a teacher. I don't see myself.
You was dropping nuggets all night tonight. You may have to rethink that. You was dropping nuggets all night tonight. So I'm just saying. I don't know. You may just want to go ahead and accept that part of your identity now.
No, I don't want to embrace that. Nah, because like, whatever. I was in my head like crazy. But I don't know. I'm not gonna embrace it tonight. How about that?
Okay.
Right? I'm like just and I gotta be honest, because it's like I'm just falling short in so many areas in my life personally, right? Which is stupid of me, first and foremost, because that really has nothing to do with the capabilities that I express on a daily basis, right? But in my mind, it did now. How could you be a teacher when you effing up all over the place and your personal life, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Guess it's still just, you know, part of the journey, right? I ain't never going to be 100.
Yeah.
You got to be growing hair and not growing hair.
But you got to be growing. But you got to be teaching and bringing people with you, too.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
I said, yeah, in the process of growing, right, you got to raise some other things up with you, help other people grow as well. So, I mean, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand, but I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let it work out on its own.
Yeah. And we'll talk again. You know, this ain't a one-off. You should know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's been a joy and a pleasure. Thank you for your smile and your light and your warmth. And I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Thank you again. I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a wonderful evening, Jeff.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening today, and I hope you can join me again for the next time on Be You for Purpose, the podcast.